Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St. John's. For those of you who are joining us on the live stream, or for those who do not know me, my name is Alex Plant. I am a seminary student from the Presbyterian College out of Montreal, part of the Montreal School of Theology. I'm also a member of this congregation, and it is an honor for me to lead you in worship this morning, so I'd like to thank you all for giving me this opportunity to preach for you this morning. Just a few announcements before we begin service. As you may have noted from the announcement slides earlier, we have a fundraiser total from our Buzz the Minister campaign for vaccine distribution through UNICEF and Love My Neighbor. And the total amount that we've fundraised so far from website donations and from physical donations from you count up to $4,367.50. That is a huge goal. We broke our $4,000 goal. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for your wonderful support. We truly, truly thank you. And for those of you who might have missed the actual buzz that took place on August the 1st, we've prepared a little video for you. We did try to live stream it at the actual event. We had a few technical issues. Thankfully, we had some backup footage that we were able to put together a little video for you. And so please enjoy over the next few minutes to see the minister's hair getting buzzed.
Been thinking about this for a while. Some of you have noticed that my hair hasn't gotten any shorter yet. And there's a reason for that. Earlier in this lockdown, I started thinking about, and as I spoke to members of the congregation, and everybody was very excited to tell me when they got their first shot and when they got their second shot, we became very much aware of the fact that we truly are blessed here in Canada and North America. We have easy access to the vaccines. We also know that there are many places in the rest of the world that are still struggling with COVID-19 and that do not have the same ease of access to the vaccines. And so I'm going to shave my head, or I will, planning for August the 1st to kind of do a shave of the minister's head and to hopefully encourage you all to raise, to make some donations toward vaccines for the rest of the world. It wouldn't be great if we could provide as many vaccines for the world as we've enjoyed. I think that would be the thing. So I'm encouraging folks to be generous. It takes $25 to provide vaccines for one person. The backstory, if you care, is that during this last lockdown happened just after Easter, in a fit of rage, the minister said, "I'm not shaving and I'm not cutting my hair till we're done." It wasn't rage, but it was just, you know, it was one of those days. And then as kind of that period drug along, I thought, maybe we should try to do something with this, and kind of had in the back of my mind the issue of vaccine inequity. Because for those of us who are here in North America and who are mostly all vaccinated now, if we want to be, the reality is that for many people in many countries in the global south, that is just not the case. There are many countries that have seen little to no vaccination to this point. And there is an organization called Love My Neighbor Project, with the proper spelling of neighbor, .com, which is made up of many faith groups here in Canada, partnering with the Millennium Kids and UNICEF to raise money and support this worthy cause. And I've been just thrilled. I think last night I looked on the website and we were up to $850, which is excellent. A really good start. Are we at 1500? We're at 1500? Wow. So that's the background of the project. So next Sunday following worship, because we needed to kind of put a push pin in the calendar, we said 11:15, we're going to do some shaving of some head, and there's already a lineup of people who have more than graciously volunteered to shave the head of the minister. So that'll be an interesting thing. We hope that you will respond. We will also be live streaming it on the live stream. All of you know the reason for this is to promote the whole idea of vaccine equity. Everybody in the congregation, as I've talked to you on the telephone over the past couple of months, you know, everybody was excited when they got their first shot, and then everybody was even more excited when they got a booking for their second shot. We all looked forward to this with great anticipation. But of course, there are so many people in the world that, you know, first shots are still just a dream. I guess with the Olympics going on, we're even aware of you know, the problems of another major and fairly wealthy country like Japan not being vaccinated yet. So the whole idea of vaccine equity and sharing with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world the possibility of a new day and hope is I think important, not just as a justice issue, but it is really a theological issue. The site has a goal on it. What should we set as a goal? And I thought, it would be amazing if our goal was $4,000, because we're a congregation that claims to have 400 people in association with us. So $4,000 seemed like a great thing. And then I thought, oh, $4,000, that's an awful lot of money. And then so I thought, maybe $2,500, because that's, you know, we get about 100 people in worship every week, and $25 per vaccine, that means everybody in worship that gathers in worship would give a vaccine to somebody else. I thought, that's a good goal. And then I thought, oh, but that's an awful lot of money. So we started at $1,500. I'm sorry I did not have more faith in you. So we started at $1,500, and you've blown away all of my expectations.
So the Cornwall Mary Christian Council would like to present you with a check that will definitely take you over your $3,000. Your fellow members of the council got together and made this decision last night. And so here you go.
Without further ado, let's get this show on the road.
course, I did the very opposite of what I needed to do to my microphone. I turned it off. Here we go. So as you can see, we hit our $4,000 goal. That was truly incredible. And for those of you on the live stream, we do apologize that we had a little bit of technical issues, but we will have the video uploaded to our YouTube channel, so you can watch that separately, or for anybody who wants to rewatch the content, it'll be available to view a few hours after the service. So thank you for that. Let us come now to worship God. We light the Christ candle as a visible reminder of Christ's presence with us. Let us join together in the call to worship, which can be seen on the screens before you. Come, every one of you who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, for Jesus grants us water and wine without price.
Why would we yearn for that which is not bread, or work for that which does not satisfy?
Incline your ear and come to me, says our God. Listen, so that you may live.
We come to worship the living God, who satisfies us with good things. You, O Lord, deserve all our praise, now and always.
Let us come together in the prayer of adoration. Let us pray. Creator God, when our souls hunger for fulfillment, you give us the bread of life. You touch our deepest hungers and fill us with good things. When our souls thirst for you, you offer us the fullness of life itself. You grant us living water. When we long for what is authentic and for what endures, you show us the way, the truth, and the life. And so we come to worship you, Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Receive all our praise and gratitude, living God, for you are the source of all that matters, now and evermore. Amen. Our opening hymn is Praise to the Lord the Almighty. The words will appear before you on the screens. Let us come together, saying together the prayer of confession, the words of which will appear before you on the screens. God of all creation, forgive us when we forget your will. Forgive the sins we know and those we have forgotten, the sins we have tried to hide and those we were once proud to commit. Forgive the sins we have done to please ourselves and the sins we have done toward others. Heal our lives and our relationships with your mercy and bless what we can become through your faithfulness to us. This we pray in your most holy name. Amen. In Christ, all things are made new. Know that you are forgiven by his great mercy. Trust God's mercy and have the courage to forgive each other. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to take a moment to think about a time when we were really angry or frustrated. Maybe as kids we had a strict parent who told us that we had to go to bed at a certain time or that we had to put down the video game or turn off the television, go play outside, or we had to be told, you must eat your vegetables. Those darn vegetables, those little things that we didn't want to do and we wanted to do something else, something that got us angry, or something maybe a bit more profound, a neighbor who caused us harm, or some kind of incident that got us all riled up and frustrated. And sometimes it can be really tempting to give in to that anger, to just lash out and to forego any of the consequences and just have at it. But that's not what God calls us to do. Instead, we are called not to be foolish with our emotions, but rather to understand what God wants us to do, how we should love our neighbor, to love those around us as ourselves. And this week's coloring page, which we'll show now on screen, tells us, be filled with the Spirit. And I took the liberty of coloring it in digitally last night. I didn't have enough time to do a nice enough job with pencil crayons or markers, so I went with the digital route. And this comes from one of today's passages, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to learn what that really means, because what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Is there a drink that we can just kind of consume and say, oh, we're filled with the Spirit? Or is it something a little bit more profound? So instead of giving in to the anger and the frustration, take a moment. Take a nice deep breath in. Hold it in there and then let it out. And it gives us the room to be filled with the Spirit of God, taking out the anger and the frustration and letting in that Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the one who shines in times of darkness. You are the rock which we can stand upon. Help us to grow in the goodness of your kingdom. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, in your most precious name. Amen. Let us come together once again for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. God of all wisdom and understanding, prepare our hearts and minds to hear your word, speaking through the scriptures. Quiet all that distracts us, so that we may learn how best to follow you in the example of Christ, your living word. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 2, reading verses 10 to 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him his great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." And the second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 111, reading responsively, and the words will appear on the screen. "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them.
Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
And from the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, reading verses 15 to 20. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And also from the New Testament, from the Gospel, book of John, chapter 6, reading verses 51 to 58. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his word to us. Let us come together for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight this day and always. Amen. When I wake up in the morning and I have my breakfast, I like to browse the internet when I eat. Because I don't have cable television and I don't subscribe to any newspapers, I browse online to see what stories come up, whether they're news stories or more personal anecdotes. And there are many types of stories out there. And for those of you who are joining us virtually, you're already on those platforms joining us for worship, which I thank you from the bottom of my heart. The internet is a vast array of content just waiting to be clicked on, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, or any number of social sites. There's so much content that's just waiting to grab our attention. From advertisements to personal stories, outcries of injustice, to the latest vacation photos. The information age can seem overwhelming to many of us, even those who were born into it. Sometimes we may have a Facebook friend who posts images or messages in the hopes of getting us to react, either negatively or positively. And if we keep up with the news, we hear a lot about these terms like fake news and misinformation, sometimes being indistinguishable from what is factual. And sometimes I stumble upon the post that is well-intentioned, but the comments section can be filled with such negativity. Sometimes I have to question if it's real at all. The world that we see on our Facebook feeds versus the world that we physically see around us can seem so different, almost like an impossibility. Social media attempts to portray itself as it's titled, social, allowing us to connect with both strangers and those that we know. And media, the content, photos, messages, and discussions which allow the free exchange of ideas. And both of these things individually are a part of what makes us human. The ability to debate both serious and superficial topics, to find people with similar interests, developing hobbies, bringing up new skills, new ideas. And we've been doing this for hundreds of years. The Renaissance brought in a period of artistic expression and thought. The Industrial Revolution brought about a change in the way society and progress is thought out. The World Wars forced us to look at where we as a people must go forward. And debates of all kinds have been going on for eons. The church fathers, empires and nations, all kinds of people from all sorts of backgrounds. And today that debate is being amplified because it's no longer just a small group of people, But every single person with an access to a computer or a phone can weigh in. People from countries that we may never have heard of or thought we would never dream of connecting to. I have friends that I speak to who live all over the world, living in the United States, England, Germany, Croatia, Australia. All never before have I been able to connect so easily to countries on the other side of the planet, to be able to talk and discuss and share ideas and to laugh together, spend time together, and make real bonds and friendships. But why am I yammering on about social media and human progress? Well, as we read today's scripture lessons, and as we saw the coloring sheet for today, it made me reflect on what it means to be filled with the Spirit. What are we filled with beyond the physical? I am reminded of the intellectual content, or sometimes unintellectual content, that we consume. Whether it's a good book or maybe a funny video. Sometimes it's the wholesome photo of a cute kitten, while other times it can be angry protests outside of City Hall. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17 tells us to be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's so easy to fall into the so-called rabbit hole, a seemingly endless pit of content spiraling down further and further. And for those of you joining on our live streams, you may notice some suggested videos on the side of our video, allowing you to see other content that you might be interested in watching. And there are some cases where someone might join us for a few minutes and then decide to leave because they have another video they'd rather watch, or perhaps they have to go and attend to something. It's so easy to jump in and out of content because it's just a click away. And sometimes our own Sunday services are recommended to those seeing other videos. If you're watching this video, well, perhaps you might like to watch this one. And so it's a two-way street. Our content is being shown to other people, and other people's content is being shown to us. It allows creators to have their content showcased by the platform, but not all of the content is for our benefit. Be careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. We must remind ourselves to slow down and not get caught up in finding the content that others want us to find. Because it's too easy for us to get caught up in that. When we see a news clip of something serious, but we see the comments section and we see people making rude or outrageous statements, we hear of these things called internet trolls wanting to provoke a response, wanting us to get angry over something we saw on Twitter or on Facebook. We are called to make the most of time because the days are evil. We remember Jesus, who spoke nothing but the truth, who healed and who taught the will of the Father, who did not commit a single sin. He was arrested and brought before Pilate. Matthew 26, verses 3 to 4. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. Matthew 26:59-61. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Matthew 27:20. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The ancient equivalent of the internet troll. Here we have a group of people conspiring to arrest an innocent man and to have him killed, looking for false testimony against Jesus, and then persuading the crowd to have Jesus killed instead of Barabbas. Just like those who want to stir anger in us by promoting stories riddled with lies and bringing false testimony against an individual or an idea and riling up the crowd to become angry. The very thing that we face today is what Jesus also faced 2,000 years ago. The scripture says, "So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We must look to Jesus, to look for his word, to his grace, for he is the only way, the only way. Many of us may be desperately trying to find our own path forward. Or even worse yet, there are those who are desperately trying to pull us off the path of righteousness by offering us temptation after temptation, by coming up with false testimonies, trying to stir up our anger. And the scriptures go on to say, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And while the scripture applies to actual alcohol, if we look deeper into it, we must also not consume anger and outrage like we would consume wine to get drunk, but rather be filled with the Spirit. We remember that Galatians 5:22-23 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. We know that it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let us become filled with the Spirit. Let us empty ourselves and put the anger and the outrage to the side. When we see something that tempts us to get angry, let's take a moment, take a step back, take that deep breath, and let us be filled with the Spirit. Let our hearts be filled with love for one another. Let us be joyful in the blessings that God has given us. Let us show peace to those who wish to fill us with anger. We must be patient, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter if it seems like nothing gets through to them, to those who want to rile us up, we must show them patience. We must combat their hatred with kindness, showing them the truth and the life in Jesus Christ. To show kindness to all our neighbors, to show them the right example through Jesus Christ, who taught us to love our neighbor no matter who they are, to simply love our neighbor no matter who they are. If you can think of an excuse, oh, well, what about? Or how about? No. To love our neighbor no matter who they are. We must show a generosity, not just with ourselves, not just with our actions, but with our thoughts and our ideas. To be generous to others, and sometimes to ourselves, when we come to God in prayer and meditation. To live in faithfulness in God's living word, trusting in His good will for us and for His perfect example of Jesus Christ, we must show gentleness, to show the good side when arguments heat up and tensions flare up. We must practice self-control. But the key word is practice. Because we know that we're going to mess up. We're going to let that anger get the better of us. Because it happens to everyone. We are going to lose that self-control and be tempted to jump into that conversation only to be riled up even further. And we're going to forget those fruits of the Spirit. That's why we must rely on God. He calls us to focus on the right example. Not the example shown by politicians looking to campaign for the next election or for activists pushing for their own agendas. But to Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, His innocence sacrificed for the good of the world. Focusing on the right example will fill us with the Spirit. Singing and making melody to the Lord in our hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Psalms urge us to give thanks to God at all times for everything God has provided. In gratitude, we offer to God a portion of what He has given us, trusting that He will bless what we bring and multiply our gifts to serve Him. Today's mission moment focuses on the Reverend Dr. Paul McLean and Bible translation teams translating the Bible into different indigenous languages in Taiwan. The United Bible Society estimates that out of the 7,350 languages in the world, only 692 have full translations of the Bible. And while those 692 languages covers about 5.6 billion people, which is quite a lot of people, the remaining 6,658 languages either have just the New Testament, short portions of Scripture, or no Scripture at all. I had no idea that there were this many languages in the world, and that these 6,658 languages represents almost 3 billion people that have either limited or no access to Scripture. This simple book that we have access to in the English language or any other common language that you may speak at home is truly a blessing. And so the translation work of those like the Reverend Dr. Paul McLean It's supported by Presbyterian sharing. Let's learn more about today's mission moment. Let us come together for the prayers of the people. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your presence with us in all things, especially in times of challenge and change. We thank you for times of rest and reunion this summer, for opportunities to safely see those we have been missing during times of lockdown. Yet we know this summer still holds deep challenges for many, and so we bring before you those people and places on our minds and hearts. We pray for the families and communities facing fire and flood, watching and worrying about what will remain of their homes and hometowns. Protect those who fight fires and conduct rescues, and open our hearts in generosity to do what we can to assist recovery. We pray for the earth, for the land and the seas suffering in the heat, and for the creatures being depleted by disaster and disruption. Protect all that is precious to you in creation, and open our hearts to live more responsibly within the balance of life you created. We pray for people facing hatred and discrimination, and those coming to terms with historic injustice and injury. Guide the relations between Indigenous people and other Canadians to correct misunderstanding and create justice for all communities. Open our hearts to discover what we share as your children and appreciate the different gifts we have to offer to one another. We pray for those who are suffering this summer, those who face pain or illness, those who are grieving, all who are anxious about what lies ahead. Bring courage and comfort to those who are struggling, and open our hearts to offer the friendship and companionship which they need. Receive our prayers, spoken and unspoken, O God, as we offer to you the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is All the Way My Savior Leads Me. The words will appear before you on the screens. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.